Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about The Right Stuff, which is a new series by National Geographic. We're going to be talking about the new Disney Plus launch pad system, which was revealed by Disney. We're going to be talking about Indiana Jones. We'll also be talking about Netflix and that whole kind of pay to window that came up a few weeks ago as we come up again. And then finally, we're going to be answering your questions. I put a question on our Facebook group and got a number of responses, so we're going to go through some of them. That's kind of going to become a regular little section, so if you aren't already a member of the Disney Plus Facebook group, make sure you jump in on that one as well. So before we do all of that, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube or subscribe button on audio platforms, and feel free to leave us a five-star review on those podcast services. So James, what have you been watching in this last week?
Not too much, mostly been doing work, and it hasn't actually been that long since we talked, but I have been watching Big Hero 6, the television series. Oh, yeah. Finished off season one, made some progress into season two. It's honestly a lot of fun. They captured a lot of what made the movie good, and I've been enjoying that series, so I'm hoping to finish it this week, but it's a very short week for me in terms of free time, so yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I must admit, they just put season one onto Disney Life, so I think I've watched the first episode, and that was about it. I'm waiting to kind of until I finish off Clone Wars, and so that's kind of my thing. As far as me, I actually, this past week, Disney Life put two fake new things onto their platform. Olaf's Frozen Adventure got put on there. Now, I've seen this movie, I got it on DVD or Blu-ray, but I watched it again because it's like 20 minutes, and it's like the music, it like reminded me of how good that short was, because I really enjoyed it, like watching it. It's like, okay, the middle of June watching a Christmas short, nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But also, Disney Nature Monkey Business got, or Monkey Kingdom got put onto Disney Life. So I watched that one yesterday, and I'm like really like torn on Disney Nature. This is that kind of thing of like, I watched it again. The problem is with Disney Life here in the UK is the things take so long to get onto it, because a movie goes to the cinema, and then it goes to Sky Cinema, then it goes to Netflix, then it comes to Disney Life. So we're only just starting to get like early or late 2017, and then hopefully that all those deals I think run out at the end of this year. So next year it should be a lot bit quicker, especially with Disney Plus. But that's been the big problem with Disney Life, is how long things take to get to it. So you're like thinking like Frozen's Olaf Adventure, not exactly a new movie, 2017, and Monkey Kingdom 2015. So this is where I'm really hoping things speed up a little bit. But that Monkey Kingdom looks beautiful. There's got some great art, some great scenes in it, and it was a really interesting one. I still can't get over the narration style. There's something about it. I know it's aimed a little bit more at kids, but like 1 minute she's talking to us, like explaining what's going on, and then she's reacting like she's in the room with them as a monkey, and I can't quite work out. It throws me off when they did that, and it's like, well, what are you? I don't know. I'm too used to like normal. I know Disney Nature got a certain style, and it looks beautiful, and it's such a great little series of documentary things, but that narration style kind of weirds me out.
I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment on it. Honestly, probably not that high on my list of things to check out, even when Disney Plus is here, but I could see it being like a good background kind of deal. Although, to be honest, I think the National Geographic stuff is a lot more of a draw in terms of documentaries, so.
Yes, there's a few other things I want to watch on National Geographic. I just haven't got around to watch it. Okay. For us, it's been a bit of a shorter week due to timing restrictions. But yeah, there's just a lot of bits and pieces going around there. But if you're watching something, let us know. What do you think of Disney Nature? I'd love to know what you guys think as well. Am I right, or am I just too used to the way that like BBC and stuff do it? But so let's jump into the news and do the quick news round. So first off, the big news, Disney Plus announced a brand new system called the Launchpad Shorts Incubator. So this is an opportunity that they've already done the Spark Shorts, and they've already done the Short Circuits, which are letting people within the company create little shorts for Disney Plus. Now they've opened it up to staff, but everybody else. So you can apply. Applications have to be in before July the 2nd. And they're looking for 6 directors who will have the opportunity to basically go into some kind of education. They'll be teaming up with the American Film Institute. So you'll be based at a 7-month immersive program based at Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, California. As I said, 6 different directors. They'll be creating something for Disney Plus, where they will be paired up with creative executive mentors from across the Walt Disney Company and challenged to create an original film that celebrates the inaugural theme of Discover and align with the Disney brand values. The fact that they said that there's an inaugural theme, I'm wondering if this is going to become like an annual process or maybe biannual, I don't know. But the fact that they've got a theme for it, just looking here, they've also announced that they are looking to kind of go after unrepresented backgrounds. So they're looking for more diverse and varied perspectives, including but certainly not limited to women, people of color, the LGBTQ community, various religious groups, military veterans, people with disabilities and others. So they're after directors, but I think that's the fact that it's open to everyone. And that's the way it's going to be working. So the timeline for this is in October, they're going to be doing in-person interviews. December, they will be picking the directors. February, they start doing script development and classes. May, they go into pre-production. June 2020, principal photography. And then post-production and additional classes in June 2020. Whatever this thing is, we ain't seeing it till for at least another year to 18 months. They are looking for all kinds of things. Like I said, they're going to be giving 3 months of script development. They're going to be bringing in classes, educational thing, 4 weeks of pre-production. There's a lot of work going on to this. They're also looking to see if they can do further development for a long form or episodes based on the quality of the short. They're also looking for future arcs and other factors, though future development is not guaranteed. And there's a lot more information. This really did kind of was like, this is a great thing for people that are at maybe at film school or something like that. If you've already made movies, I think you're already disqualified, but this is a really big program to kind of get people into Disney. And I think they're using Disney Plus almost seems to be like their training ground, and they're going, oh, we can put stuff out here that's a little bit, I don't want to say less quality, but they're willing to take a few more risks with Disney Plus at this point.
Right. And it's the perfect platform for it because it doesn't cost us any extra to see these things. So it gives them a good test ground for it. And it's very low risk for them. They're not going to invest an incredible amount of money, relatively speaking, into this program, but they don't need to. This gives them a chance to throw a little bit of money at some upcoming talent, see what happens when they create it, see if there's a positive reaction, and if people in this program create shorts that people really enjoy, then they can go on and see what happens from it. It's kind of like an expanded version of the old Pixar programs where, they would use the shorts in front of the films as a chance to kind of test out talent before they moved on to the Toy Story 4 and the Inside Out projects.
Yeah. I mean, it's that kind of thing. If one of these 6 people go on to make Disney movies in the future, they could make their money back. And if one of these ideas is really pop, then they can use it to create a series and whatever, it will be worth it. But also it's about getting that talent in and getting them trained up, giving them some practice. And there's that kind of thing of, they don't want to just put it out there that, oh, you're making a new series. There's a lot of faith that goes into a project. So if they can build them up, that's great. I'm just loving the fact that now we've got 3 different programs running for, like, basically for other people to have a go in Disney at making stuff and then putting their team behind it and being a little bit more open, because the trouble is they are losing some of their old guard. They're moving off. They're all being nabbed by Netflix and they're moving on to other projects. They need new talent. They need young talent. They need talent that are thinking differently. And this was just great. It's one of those situations of, it's kind of a story which doesn't necessarily get a lot of attention from people because they kind of gloss over it because, but it is a very important in the long run. And that's the way I kind of feel on that one.
Yeah. I mean, you constantly have to be working on new talent. You can't expect the old guard to just stick around for, you know, a variety of reasons. They get old. They don't want to tell the same stories. They want to, spread their wings. They've got an opportunity elsewhere. Whole lot of reasons. And if you're not developing new talent at the same time, you'll find yourself in a situation that, like Disney kind of found itself in World War II, when all of a sudden all of their talent was just gone. And yeah, they need to prevent that in the future.
And also as well, they need to get out of this recycling and resequels and remakes and they need to move away from that. I know they are, there's no doubt that they are aware of it. I mean, obviously with things like Aladdin and Lion King set to make big money, but they know that they're going to have to keep churning out new content for generations were growing up. Nostalgia's only going to work so long. They're going to need to keep building up new nostalgia. And I just think this was a great system. Again, that was like the one of the official releases. It's always good to kind of see official information coming out there, but also this coming through from like Disney, etc. So great program. But yeah, there's no downside to me for this at all. Because if at the end of the day, if all of them are subpar, then it doesn't matter. They're trainee. This isn't like an apprentice series. I mean, what we've seen from those Pixar Spark shorts already, they were fantastic, especially that kickball. So, it's just all good. But I'm really loving the fact that we've got three different programs running, creating this kind of content, and really kind of give us some different kind of bits and pieces. But let's move on now to a little bit of other news. Indiana Jones. And this is going to be a little bit of a feature topic out of today. And that is, Indiana Jones is filming this week. Harrison Ford confirmed it when he was appearing at Star Wars Galaxy Edge last weekend. And this movie's coming out, I think it's July 2021. So it's quite a way off yet, but they got time to do it. But one of the questions that got brought up, and I'll read this one out in the book, on our Facebook group, was Grant asked, would you please answer my question about Indiana Jones and Lucasfilm? I'd love to hear you and James talk about it. And so this is going to be the big one, really, of Indiana Jones. What's going on there? And the problem is, Indiana Jones is a bit of an odd one. Recently, they went onto Netflix. I think it was back at the beginning of the year. They've gone onto Netflix because while Lucasfilm owns Indiana Jones and they own the franchise and they own the character and all the rest of it, and the new Indiana Jones movie will be coming to Disney Plus probably 2022, I would imagine, by that point. They don't own the rights to the original four movies. That's owned by Paramount. So Paramount are in charge of distributing them. So if Netflix pays more than Disney to Paramount, they will get access to them. Now, things can change. Things can move around. Disney have already shown that they're willing to work with Paramount, because we know that Iron Man and was four one of them as well?
Possibly. I think Thor, and then maybe even Captain Marvel, the first Avenger. Captain America, the first Avenger.
So those first few Marvel movies were made by Paramount. They've already announced that they're coming to Disney Plus. So there's no reason to think that deals can't be done. Either in terms of they might license the Indiana Jones movies, or they might even try to purchase the rights for those movies back. It depends really on what Paramount wants to do on that. So I think the fact that we've already got a precedent that they will do work with Paramount already for Disney Plus and will license the stuff, very good. But at the minute, nothing Indiana Jones is confirmed for Disney Plus, and we might not see it on there. But then it could also be something that comes on maybe 6 months down the line once the deal with Netflix runs out. There might become a bit of a bidding war, but Netflix also maybe will want to start spending money on its own content rather than investing in licensed project because they've lost so much. Different to know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were...
No, that's all right.
Basically, the short answer is we don't know, because there's a lot of variables. Obviously, Disney does want to have it on there, because Indiana Jones is part of the parks. They've got the ride. They've got the show over in Hollywood Studios. And it wouldn't surprise me if they do already actually have some news about Indiana Jones. Not 5, but 1 through 4. Or, heck, even like the old cartoon or something along those lines. And they're just kind of holding it as something they can drop it, you know, to keep the news tidal wave going. Because news about Indiana Jones going to Disney Plus, even if it's not at launch, even if they've like it'll be early 2020 or it'll be right in advance of Indiana Jones 5, so to get the hype up, or I don't know, maybe they won't do 4 if they want to hype it, but I don't know. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they already at least have some idea of what the Indiana Jones plan is, and they're just kind of holding it because, you know, right now it's the Star Wars and Marvel show. Yeah. And, you know, the kid shows are also, of course, racking in, and National Geographic is racking in. If you announced Indiana Jones now, especially if it's not out at launch, which it doesn't look like it will be, it would just get lost in the shuffle. It wouldn't make a splash. But if, you know, they started the Indiana Jones 5 press tour, you know, news about that is coming out. And then they drop, yes, you can watch all 4 of the originals, the cartoon, whatever else.
There was a live action series as well, wasn't there?
Right. Yeah, there were a couple. Yeah, Young Indy or something like that. You know, those shows are coming to Disney Plus. That would be fairly decently sized news, and it would ride the appropriate train. Right now, it just kind of, it would fall between the cracks, probably.
It's actually exactly what I felt of, like, no, this is a good thing to hold back, bring out in a few months afterwards, or even a year later, and go, bang, they're out there. The fact that they're on Netflix now, you know, if they've signed an 18-month, year, 2-year contract, that might restrict what's going on. Obviously, by the time Disney Plus launches, they'll have nearly been on there a year anyway. But it really depends on what they are. I do think that they will have signed a deal to get it in there. They'll want it on there. They want to sort out stuff. We already know that Bob Iger has already said that they are working with contracts to try and get stuff back, try and get things under control, and they're willing to pay for it. You know, Paramount, you know, if they end up getting the rights completely back, we don't know, or it could be a long-term licensing thing. But I'm expecting them to be on there eventually. The fact that they weren't shown it on the Investors Day event says that they're holding it back. And it makes sense, especially, as I said, as they only recently went on Netflix this year. Who knows? Now, obviously, the thing is, with Indiana Jones, it is a massive franchise. Whether or not they do anything new with it, I don't know. But I think they're going to want to start building up that momentum once we get into, like, 2021. So maybe, like you say, a year away might be a good little thing. Now, on the subject of Netflix, I want to talk about this one right now, was a couple of months ago, a story went around of Netflix owns the pay-to window of old movies from anything that was on Netflix from 2016 to 2018. They apparently have the access to those movies about 7 to 8 years down the line, so 10 years from their original release. So the story's got picked up by Bloomberg. It's then gone around all the news sites. However, the problem is none of them are citing what happened last month, where Bob Iger confirmed that they've actually got, like, basically like a loophole in the contract that allows them to keep them or keep some of them, and they're working with to get contracts sorted. None of that got picked up. So it's a bit of a thing of every time I see it keep coming up in the news feeds of going, they've worked, and they go, Disney haven't commented. It's like, they did, but it was a month ago. It's just this new cycle's kind of swept back through. So I just wanted to bring that one back to people's attention in case you've seen it. I did retweet out the links to the old stories, but it was a bit like, well, no, this is 2-month-old news. this is already, you know, they've already, Bob Iger has even stated about it like 6 weeks ago. They talked about it because he didn't want to get into the discussion, but he still confirmed that there's something in the contract, which while Netflix might get those movies back, Disney do still have probably the rights to do anything they want with them. And also, this is the thing of right now, like Black Panther and Infinity War are like, yeah, they're big movies. This doesn't start till like 2025, 2027. So something like Mary Poppins Returns won't return to Netflix until like 2027, at which point it's a 10-year-old movie. Are we really that worried about if Cars 2 was on Netflix, it was on Netflix for 6 months? Now or something, that's what we're talking about. They're going to be 10-year-old movies by the time this comes back.
Yeah, there's a lot of details about this story that aren't making it into the, you know, the professional news organizations.
Yeah,
and a lot of that is, you know, you and I we can pay attention to that because that is our focus. We are looking at Disney news, but if someone came up to us and was like, Can you give us some details on the Paramount deal for blah de blah? I'm like, no.
No,
I have way more things to keep track of than this. And of course, a professional news organization has so many bajillion things going on at a time, which isn't an excuse, because you do need journalistic integrity. You do need to follow up on stories. You need to give the facts. And if Bloomberg and all the subsequent sites had, you know, actually done 30 minutes of Googling, they probably would have found this information just right there, and they could have included it. To be fair, though, it would also make the article a little less interesting, a little less, generate quite as much buzz. And I'm not going to say that's intentional, because they are a professional organization. They don't really have to resort to clickbait the way a lot of sites do. But at the same time, they didn't really give it the kind of attention that you would want a professional organization.
Well, other thing as well is, I will say in their defense, they apparently Bloomberg asked Disney and they did refuse to comment, or they did. Right. I mean, if Disney had actually put out a statement,
that's true,
a reply to it, and just shot the rumor down and said, like, well, this is what Bob Iger said, or this is a reason for it. Depends if what's going on backstage, but there is that kind of counter argument. Disney could have shot this down by with a comment, or a kind of even something along the lines of, well, if you listen to this call, totally financial results, at this point, Bob Iger does talk about this situation. That could have put the whole thing to bed. Now they've suddenly got a big bad PR spin this week of suddenly Disney and Star Wars and Marvel movies are all going back to Netflix, because that's the way the headlines are reading. And at the minute, everything's leaving Netflix, so anything to kind of bring people back in. It's only when you get into the weeds, you suddenly realize, well, there's actually only 2 years worth of movies. Because, like, there's lots of stuff leaving Netflix, like Pirates of the Caribbean 5 and Cars 3 are leaving this month, and there's quite a lot of stuff coming up that's leaving. But that article, this is the thing sometimes, if old news can sometimes swing back around again, and especially around April, that's usually the worst time for it to be swinging back around again. But this is the thing, you know, reports come around, but I just wanted to bring it back up again, because I've been seeing it a lot popping up in my feeds. And I was like, okay, I know it is old news, but just to let everyone know, there is contracts in place and loopholes that do get around it.
Yeah, so it is a thing that will happen based on current projections, but it's far in the future, and we have no idea what's going to happen. And as you said, even if it does happen, it's not permanent, and it's not on the movies that will be coming out right at that moment. Now, there might be a reason, you know, in that time frame where we'll really want to see Black Panther, a sequel is coming out, or, you know, we have another Avengers Infinity War kind of deal where all of the movies between 2015 and 2022 or whatever are building up to this thing. But yeah, the chances of that are pretty low, especially when you're talking about the other movies like Mary Poppins Returns and so on. Unless that becomes a huge franchise and they're making them like every 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, this doesn't kick into 2025. I think it's just at the minute everything's on Netflix for leaving rather than gaining. So, but nevertheless, other quick story of the week was National Geographic announced a brand new TV series called The Right Stuff, starring Patrick J. Adams, who you might know from Suits. And this is based on Tom Wolfe's iconic best-selling nonfiction book, The Right Stuff. Now, I'm going to leave this one to you, because apparently it's a movie. I'd never even heard of this movie until recently. So it's going to be coming to National Geographic in 2020. And there are subsequent series as well, set to come as well. So they're kind of really jumping into this one. Now, obviously, it hasn't been confirmed for Disney Plus. Nothing, as I said, whenever they put out these announcements, none of them are really putting on what they're doing. It's just, it's on National Geographic. It's on National Geographic. It's a brand. They've said that everything's coming through there eventually. So we're just taking everything at the minute that if it's National Geographic or Disney Channel or Marvel, that there's a very high chance of it coming onto it. But I'll let you explain this one, because yeah, you're the big science nerd.
And not just a big science nerd on this one. Like, for the last several weeks whenever we're talking about new stuff coming out, you know, new TV show announcements, I'm always kind of like, it's cool, but it's not for me. It's cool, but it's not for me. You know, I'm not the target audience for that. The right stuff, I am the target audience for. This was the movie that came out in 1983. Mm-hmm. Fantastic movie. It's a bit long, and I don't know, if you didn't grow up with it, it might not be the best thing to jump into, but I love it. It was the movie that as a child, I was like, I watched it every day, every single day, you know, like parents now, this was Frozen for me, you know, I knew this show backwards and forwards, which is great because when I got older and watched it again, I was like, wow, this was a really mature movie with a lot of stuff that I probably should not have seen at that age, but it went completely over my head. Yeah. So it was fine. Or I was just naive, one or the other.
Is it a PG-13 or PG, or is it?
Yeah, but also ratings in the 1980s were weird as heck. Yeah. So I don't think PG-13 even existed in 1980 yet. So either way, the movie and the book are specifically about the start of the space race. You start with Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier, you know, in the Bell X-1. I don't know if the show is going to have that. Because they did not mention it. They did mention specifically the Mercury 7, which is the second half of the movie. Yeah. The seven test pilots who become the first American astronauts, their trials in, you know, becoming those astronauts, preparing for something that nobody had ever done before, trying to beat the Russians, which of course they didn't, but bringing them back safely. And then based on the press release, it sounds like they're going to focus very heavily on the rivalry between Alan Shepard and John Glenn, which actually doesn't really happen that much in the movie. So they're attacking it from a completely different angle.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a TV miniseries. I think 10 episodes was what they said.
I haven't they said particularly.
Either way, the fact that it's TV, the right stuff by itself, this is like a 3-hour-long movie just to begin with. But even with that, they're kind of rushing through the training, the preparation, so on. With a television event, they can kind of give the proper amount of, you know, build up. They could probably do all six of the astronauts who went into space. One of them didn't. They found a heart murmur or something like that and didn't let him go up. He went up in 1975, though, in the Apollo Soyuz mission where they the Russians and the Americans shook hands in space, which is pretty cool. That probably won't be in this. but yeah, I mean, this is all speculation. We don't know what it is. The other cool part, though, which you mentioned, is that if this series is successful, kind of reading between the lines there, they'll continue on with the Gemini program, or the Gemini, as they pronounced it in First Man, and then the Apollo program, and presumably Apollo Soyuz, space shuttles, space labs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. There's a lot more material on those, like HBO did From the Earth to the Moon a number of years ago, which did the Apollo program. Gemini actually hasn't gotten much press outside of the recent First Man movie. So I obviously, you know, am super into this already, and I want it to succeed. But I think from the perspective of getting some of these stories out there that aren't necessarily well known to the public, especially in the Gemini program, I would love to see a second season of this where they go into that and kind of explore that. Especially because going to the movie First Man, I don't think most people realize that whole thing where Neil Armstrong, the guy who would eventually land on the moon, was stuck in a dead spin in space and was like literally seconds away from being the first American casualty in space. Yeah. I don't think most people know about that. No. So,
well, this is what gets glossed over time, but these are kind of, this is where National Geographic are kind of getting into a lot of these like big documentary based on live action, live events. You know, we had the Silicon Valley one, we've got the Hot Zone one with Boba now, and now they're going into this one. They seem to be going down that line of creating drama, which we don't necessarily assume with National Geographic, but they seem to be going down that line. It seems to be very successful. For Disney Plus, this is great because this really gives them some serious adult content. That depends on what the ratings go. If it goes a little bit too much, it might end up flicking the Hulu, but I've got to think now that Disney are kind of been going, just keep it a little bit more family friendly, please, so it can work. Because you know, it's a fact, it's that thing now of this is going to be sort of everything's going to be shuffled through. Apparently, at the licensing expo this past week, they had all that their bits and pieces, and Simpsons and National Geographic are on the banners next to all the Disney stuff now at the licensing stuff. They are looking at National Geographic as one of their core, as a brand to sell. That's why it's one of the core ones of Disney Plus. So this sounds good. I'm up for this. You know, like saying there's some, and I also think as well, coming out with some different kind of content, space exploration and stuff. As long as it's better than that one that Hulu put out recently with, there was one, and there's the spaceship one in the future, set in the future, just like 10 years, and it had Sean Penn in it.
Oh, I do know the one you're talking about. I haven't seen it. I can't comment. I heard it wasn't particularly good.
Yeah, though. Two episodes in, I gave up. How you can have a space series with as little space as you can possibly get in there. So hopefully it's a lot better than that one. But generally, National Geographic seem to be doing rather well with these documentary kind of live action thingamajiggies. So let's now jump into that's kind of all the news of the week. So let's jump into some of the questions. So
these are from Facebook, right?
This is from the Facebook group. Yeah. So we've got just coming up to close to 2,000 members now.
We are listening.
Yeah, they are listening. I hear you. So Dan Graff asked, what Disney Channel movies are going to be on Disney Plus? Now, it's actually going to be a lot. They've said that there's going to be over 100 different Disney Channel movies. They've already, some of the things like Cadets, one with Lizzie McGuire. They've announced High School Musicals are on there, The Descendants. Over 100 movies from Disney Channel are going to be included on this. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, Disney Channel, Disney Plus is kind of going to be the big video on demand. That's going to be one of the big core aspects to it. 5,000 episodes, over 100 movies. Yeah, Disney Channel movies are a major part of it. Have you seen any of them though?
I mean, I've certainly seen some over time. I can't say I've seen even most of them, but yeah, you definitely encounter them, or I encountered them more in the 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. I think the last one that kind of sticks in my head was Xenon, Girl of Tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was any... Oh, Girl of the 21st Century. I got the list right here. I don't think it was particularly good, but I do remember it. But yeah, to answer the question, I mean, you already basically answered it. Yeah. The vast majority of these will be there.
Yeah, Zombies was another one. I know that was on there.
That's a more recent one.
They just announced a filming of Zombies 2. I mean, I've seen some of the newer ones like Zombies and Descendants just to kind of keep down with it. But there's quite a few that ones. I think the Beach movie as well or something.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at this list. I don't know how official the list I'm looking at. It's on Wikipedia. But it's also got some of the movies like Tangled Before Ever After, which was the prequel to the Tangled television show, which I think just finished its second season or something along those lines. So assuming that is something that Disney also considers a Disney original movie, we'll see stuff like that because it's kind of important to the television series. And I know this one doesn't actually count, but like Aladdin 2, which was basically a test run for what would become the Aladdin television series, would probably also show up on here.
Yeah,
things of that nature.
Yeah, because like those two, another two straight to video ones, Return of Jafar and King of Thieves, they are on Disney Life. I'm very much using now Disney Life is also the UK streaming service, which is the precursor to, you know, they've been using it as a test bed. I've kind of have this view now. If it's on Disney Life, it'll be on Disney Plus. So there's lots of Disney Channel stuff. This is going to be the big Disney Channel is one of the big channels providing stuff to Disney Plus. So Emily asked, please tell me Phileas and Ferb will be on there. Good news, there's an exclusive Disney Plus original Phileas and Ferb movie coming to Disney Plus. I'd expect there as well. You're going to get the TV series as well. Do you think any of the Muppet movies at Disney Plus will be on Disney Plus? They've confirmed Muppets, the Muppets is on there. And I think, if I remember rightly,
the sequel to the Muppets.
Yeah.
The Muppets Most Wanted, I think, is confirmed. I remember specifically looking for things like Muppets Treasure Island on those big, the big display they had on the investor call. Did not see any of the other Muppet movies.
No, well, I mean, I was going through this week. I'm currently building up a database on the website of all the movies and stuff. And so I literally went through all the live action ones. So I didn't go through the Disney Channel ones. Now, they might have just put the Muppets up there on the screen just to show the Muppets are coming. Because that was a thing with that screen, was they were showing like, oh, the Muppets are on here. So they did show some of the things on there. We know we've got a couple of exclusive series coming. Looking here on Disney Life, we've got the Muppets, Muppets Most Wanted, Muppets Christmas, Muppet Treasure Island, Muppet Christmas Carol, The Great Muppet Caper, The Muppet Original. Then we got the Muppet Moments.
I don't know what that one is. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's just a number of series. Just a few movies. They didn't have the whole thing on there, but so that's not a bad thing. Okay, now Elizabeth asks, is Disney going to be playing movies and shows as far back as 1955? Yes. I know that Treasure Island was, I think that was 1950. That was on there. Obviously, we've got the animated movies like Snow White. That was like 1930-something. So they have, Old Yeller was one that I saw that had been put on there. So they are putting on, they're putting them out there on that initial bits pieces. But obviously they weren't going into, here is the exclusive list of every single thing. But yeah, you are getting some 1995 movies from back then.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of the older live action shows also showed up there. Maybe not Davy Crockett, simply because that might have some themes that don't translate too well to 2018, 2019 timeframe. But a lot of those shows, which probably a lot of us actually grew up with, I wouldn't be surprised if they made their way onto it.
Yeah, Davy Crockett isn't on Disney Plus looking at here at the minute. But then, to be honest, that wasn't really a big thing for us over here. I don't think it was.
Right. Was more of a, it was like a precursor to the Disney Afternoon too. And it was reruns at that point too, but it was the kind of thing you would catch on TV maybe after an early school release or something like that. And then they had the Winnie the Pooh where it would start with him opening the book in live action and then it would go to cartoons and stuff like that. I could see most of those making the jump over.
Okay, so next we have got Andrew asked, hey, you guys, wouldn't it be cool if the 70s Zuji Disney, like Disney Recess, Little Mermaid, Aladdin TVs, and other shows were on Disney Plus? Yep, it would be. Hopefully they will go on there. I imagine there's no reason I would have thought that they wouldn't. And we'll just check here again just to see what we've got here.
The only reason I can think of that they wouldn't put them on there is that they might have to, you know, upgrade the quality of it. A lot of those shows came out, they'd be VHS quality, which is 480i resolution, which doesn't look great on modern systems. So if they're going to put them up, they've got to at least run them through, you know, some sort of upscaling program to make them work on modern and not look like absolute garbage. But I can't see any reason why they wouldn't do it.
Recess, the TV series and the free movies are on Disney Life already.
There you go.
I know Aladdin doesn't have the series. I know they don't have the Aladdin series.
I bet they want to, because Aladdin's right now a really big thing.
And the TV show for Little Mermaid is on Disney Life as well. So again, we're just using Disney Life as a precursor, because it's at least something. Sean asks, we know that they will have movies and TV shows on site. What kind of original programming or specials would you like to see them try? For me, original programs, I'd like them to be original. I would like them to not be sequels, reboots, or I'd like them to do something different. I'd like them to try some original programming, something brand new, something fresh. Let's just do something different rather than just keep going, because at the minute it just feels like they're just playing on that nostalgia, and I would love to see them do something. I mean, more Marvel and Star Wars for me is personally great. I mean, I'm loving the sound of these National Geographic stuff, For me personally, I would like original movies that explore that a little bit more. I'm going down that line, but just do something new, do something original, and rather than reboot.
I would like to tie this into actually two of the things that we talked about earlier today. I want to see, you know, more from these training academy things that they've got set up, you know, the launch pad and the other ones. And I'd love to see what these guys can come up with that's not based on existing properties, or, you know, if they do use like Mickey Mouse or something, use them in different ways. And to go back to this conversation about the right stuff, I love this movie. But I'm with you on, you know what, I have the movie. It's right here. Yeah. I don't necessarily need another version of it. I welcome it, but it, you know, it'd be nice if they put those resources into another project. It could be, you know, they could skip doing the Mercury program because there is a movie right here and go straight into Gemini, something like that, or totally different. But I'm with you on this one. It's great seeing the adapted content, reboots, etc. But I really do want original content. I want new stories with new characters from new voices.
It's things like, for me, like Togo, Noel, and I think Timmy Failure. Those are the original ones I'm excited about because I know nothing about them and I've never seen them. And that's what I want for. I don't want Lady and the Tramp, the remake. I'll be honest. I'll watch it. Got dogs in it, so it's going to be even cuter. So I will watch it. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more. Sean also asked, what about something either from the parks or D23, or would it be different than the Disney Parks blog does on YouTube?
Hold on, I'm not sure the question. Yeah.
What about something either from the parks or D23, and how
would are we talking like a show, something like Pirates of the Caribbean?
And he said, I'd love them to do some film version of their live stage production. So there's two different elements there.
All right, yeah.
So let's do the live programming first off. Like this last week, I watched a live stream of them doing the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They put that on there. It's on YouTube. I do think they need to, you know, put that out as a special live event. Use it. You know, they've got this program. They've got all these Disney fans subscribed. Makes a lot of sense. You know, they did the Disney Channel Fan Fest a couple of weeks ago. They live streamed that. Yeah, they've got the technology. ESPN Plus live streams all the time. They should do all these events. You know, do stuff from D23 in the future. I don't see a reason why they wouldn't want to do it. Disney now do live streaming, so they're obviously testing the waters and doing bits and pieces. But live events from, you know, D23, park stuff is a little bit tricky. So live stuff is always a good little extra bonus.
I certainly wouldn't mind every once in a while them kind of popping in and broadcasting the fireworks show, or, you know, during the Christmas season, they have a couple of shows that are only Christmas oriented. Yeah. You know, there was a news article on Diz Kingdom earlier this week about Minnie, having her own little thing at the Christmas party, and they've got the Frozen Ever After, Frozen something. It's based on Frozen. It'd be fun to see some of those live streamed. Obviously, that's probably low on their priority because they want you to go to the park.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you know, Walt himself used to do broadcasts from the park all the time. They're great advertisements for the park. I'm going to tackle this question in a slightly different way, because I'm not 100% certain what they're asking. Yeah. But one thing that occurred to me is I wouldn't mind seeing like a show, a scripted show based on, say, like the Haunted Mansion, done in maybe like a Goosebumps style. Mm. I know there's a movie, but I think that there could be potential in like kind of a pseudo soft horror TV show out of that.
So also, as far as like the YouTube stuff, I feel like they need to get that line right between YouTube and Disney Plus of it being a quality issue, because YouTube can be a little bit more throw stuff out there, see what sticks, you know, little things like here and there. I don't want every single video from YouTube on there, but there's a lot of good stuff on there that if it's, you know, a certain quality, why not put it on Disney Plus anyway? If you don't get the ads, great. And just keep that constant trickle, especially with something, you know, they're doing lots of shorts, but more so with these like little events. I mean, yeah, if they do a Disney Parks blog, quite often, you know, they'll be like, oh, these are the brand new merchandise and things coming to the parks. I don't know. That could be kind of deemed a little bit of an advert. It's a bit hit and miss.
Definitely an advert.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing like with the Marvel dot. Like, for example, something like the Star Wars show on YouTube. I think that would be a good thing to put onto Disney Plus as a weekly show. Just put it on there. Might as well. But things like the Marvel, they do some podcasts, they do some shows, and maybe like Marvel Minute, which is only a minute long of the Marvel news. Maybe not good enough, but I think there needs to be a line of some of the stuff from YouTube is good enough quality. You know, back in the day, those Disney Infinity TV shows that we used to tune in, you know, something like that would have been, you know, we're like, yeah, put them on there.
Yeah, those are fun. Mm-hmm. Kind of building on what you were saying there, you know, when you ride, say, the Magical Express, they often have short little videos that, yeah. You know, hey, come on down to the Italian pizza parlor, and they've got like a short scripted interview with one of the cooks or something. That's not bad content. Yes, it's advertising, but at the same time, you kind of get like that glimpse behind the curtain kind of deal. And just going through and maybe following a ride operator as they do the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or something. Just a couple minutes, you know, just show them doing their job. It's kind of cool for the kids to get to see like these, you know, how things work. Obviously, you don't give away the secrets, but, you know, having a ride operator talk about what their day is, the kind of things they have to watch out for, the kind of customers that they see, the kind of people watching the ride or riding the ride. Those could be fun little 3-4 minute shorts.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, more is always better. More is just good. And it's that kind of situation of, also, if they are using this content for Disney Plus, that might end up increasing the quality for YouTube. So, you know, it's tricky to see what they're going on there. But the other part about film versions of the live stage productions, I think that would be a goldmine of if they filmed them doing, I don't know, a live version of Frozen on Broadway or The Lion King or Beauty and the Beast or something like that. Do it properly, film it properly, put it up on Disney Plus, sorted. I mean, the fact that they show these, I mean, my local cinema, they do live streams of like Broadway shows. So why not release them as proper movies? And it just makes sense.
Yeah, my local theater, a movie theater, has adverts in front of all of their movies, or like watch the Russian ballet of Swan. Yeah, probably not for me, but it's cool that they offer it.
Yeah.
And something like that on Disney could do really well. And again, targeting a younger audience, you know, you can definitely do things like that. And it encourages people to then, again, go to the parks and be like, oh, I saw this show on Disney Plus, and now I get to be in the audience and part of the show, you know, like for the Frozen sing-along and so on.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be live. It could just be that they filmed it at a specific point, film it with a, I mean, something like Aladdin, you know, we've got the Mary, I mean, I've gone to see Aladdin, I've gone to see Mary Poppins, I've seen Lion King, I want to go see Frozen when that comes. You know, I've gone and seen these shows at in Broadway or on the West End in London. And I love, you know, I love going to see musicals. So I'd be very open for them to do a high quality filming of it. And and I actually think by seeing Aladdin last year helped me probably enjoy Aladdin at a cinema more this year, because I'd seen a different version. Same with Mary Poppins. I'd seen somebody else play the role. So it helped. I mean, I remember when they did, you know, it's just that. But yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And just final thought, the theater that they have in Disneyland, they had the Aladdin play there.
Yeah.
They had a Frozen play there. It's not Broadway quality, but it's still solid, you know, lineup, you know, theater style stuff. Those would be great fodder for television, especially if you recorded, say, Frozen, and then, you know, they replace it, because that's what it do. It rotates every once in a while. You can still see the Frozen show, but they don't have to keep producing it.
No. Next question is from Tehran. Will you be able to download on PS4? Yes, it'll be if they've confirmed the app will be on the PlayStation 4. They've also confirmed that you are going to be able to download content onto your mobile devices, because I wasn't sure on how you termed the download side of things. Whether or not you can download onto your PlayStation 4, I doubt it. It's more for like if you've got your tablet with you on a plane, that you've got a load of movies backed up. But yeah, it will be on PlayStation 4. That is the one console that has been confirmed on. And final question from Mark. Will you be on Apple TV? And also, is Guardians 2 going to be on the service? It's off Netflix. Apple TV, yeah, I would I would expect it to be on there. They're pretty much, Apple are trying to push Hulu, Netflix, that you can, or Netflix isn't on there, but you can basically watch movies. I suspect they're going to be in there. Bob Iger's on the Apple investors, or he's actually on the board of, so he's involved in Apple, so I suspect that's been going on. They've been partnering for years. As far as Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I think that one was on the list of confirmed Marvel movies. Yep, once it come off of Netflix, that means it's fair game now for Disney Plus. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and obviously Guardians of the Galaxy 1, and the animated series has also been confirmed as well.
Just say you've got good taste in movies.
Yes, so yeah, you can't go wrong with a bit of Guardians of the Galaxy. So that wraps up all of this week's questions. Like I said, I'm going to be doing that regularly on the podcast, and I'll be putting those questions into the Facebook group. Obviously, if they come through on email or Twitter and they're good, I will do it there, but I'm just trying to kind of keep that as it is at the minute. But nevertheless, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go check us out on What's on Disney Plus, for, you know, all the usual social medias and stuff. We'll be back next week with another episode. Again, thank you very much for watching. We'll see you guys soon. Later.